Radio's home folks, Bacon Saved, written by Paul Reimer.
Bacon Saved, it's brought to you by Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes. With their dental care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear.
Margaret, what have you got draped over your arm?
Well, a new pair of curtains. I was just showing them to someone.
Oh, I see.
Well, you can look, but don't touch. Rayon curtains are scarce as bobby pins these days.
Oh, I won't hurt them.
Maybe not, but the only thing that can touch these curtains is pure, gentle Ivory Flakes.
I'm gentle.
And pure?
You win.
Friends, Ivory Flakes are really gentle. So mild, they help even delicate rayon curtains stay lovely.
Practically like new.
Dainty and filmy.
Up to twice as long.
Yes, when they're washed gently in Ivory Flakes.
Wash tests prove it.
Wash tests were made on so many things. Rayon curtains, of course, and all kinds of clothes.
Blouses, sweaters, rayon slacks.
Lingerie, rayon dresses. Those things were washed over and over.
In Ivory Flakes, mind you.
And they stay bright, full of color.
Those tests prove. With Ivory Flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear.
That's why when occasionally your dealer is out of Ivory Flakes, it'll pay you to wait for them.
He'll have more soon.
It'd be a shame to buy the wrong kind of soap. Why, when you wash clothes the wrong way, the things that can happen, very often they'll fade, or the materials give way, or the seams will fray out.
Not to mention the water pipes might burst and the house cave in.
Ed, I'm serious.
I'll say you were.
Well, it's a serious business, this making things last.
I know. We've all got to these days.
So, friends, for your nice clothes,
use Ivory Flakes.
From rayon dresses to rayon stockings, use them. Incidentally, strain tests were made. They showed rayons washed in Ivory Flakes lasted twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap.
Ivory Flakes is so mild. Ivory mild.
And ivory pure.
Try them for your blouses, your slips, your sweaters, and housecoats. With gentle Ivory Flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear. And now, back to Bacon Saved.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Goop. Our friends are seated on the davenport with sections of the newspaper, and the master of the menage seems to have come upon an article of interest, for he's reading aloud with briskness and enjoyment. Listen.
Multiple coefficients of modern business procedure. Mr. Osluder also touched on the variance and imponderables connected with the mercantile conduct in general. Thinking men in this day and age, he said, may be likened to the merchants of the ancient times to whom miscellaneous tenets of humanitarianism and occult perceptive considerations were in direct ratio.
Oh, yes, that's right. Let me read my own trash here.
What trash is that?
A little daily love story.
You would prefer to occupy your mind with childish and trivial...
Yes, anyway, I heard the kitchen door open. Is that you, Russell?
Hi, Mom. Is that
Mr. Curious O'Sluder said, whose words I was quoting, formerly taught mathematics in college.
Did he?
Well, good afternoon.
Seems to me, as long as a man of his intellectual caliber is willing to surrender the fruit of his rich thought in a newspaper article, the least we can do...
What's Willie
really
hollering about?
Something extremely vital and important, no doubt.
Yes, Willie? Uncle Fletcher's
here. Curtis O'Sluder, of course, never says anything but nonsense. He's just a poor half-wit. Poor old Curtis O'Sluder.
Oh, yes. Where is Uncle Fletcher?
He'll be right along.
He paused out the alley a minute to speak to Mr. Razorscum.
Mr. Razorscum's in Peoria.
Oh, I mean Mr. Kneesuffer. By George, he's sure stepping around lively this evening.
To Kneesuffer?
No, Uncle Fletcher. He come waltzing up the alley like rapid as a horse. Busy with a million more details in connection with Miss Keller getting married a bit.
Uh-huh.
Say, here's something you can understand. Human ingenuity, Mr. O'Sluder went on to say, is merely...
I don't want to understand that craziness, but you agreed it to yourself.
Craziness, she calls it.
What do I care about human ingenuity and trash?
Trash. Trash, she says.
Oh, here we are.
Hi.
In the living room, are we sitting?
Yes, everybody.
Why?
You're not going to hold that newspaper up in front of your face to read while we got company, I don't suppose.
I have a paragraph to finish.
Put your newspaper down.
I'll put this newspaper down after I have finished this paragraph.
Who was it to use the word childish a minute ago? What great big man said somebody was childish?
Maybe, honey. Think, honey. I know this is unforgivable, me breaking in on you in this unceremonious fashion, but matters of pressing nature intervened and made the alternative unbearable. Don't get up, Vic.
I hadn't intended to.
You people are entertaining friends this evening.
No,
and have
we're
your plans
not.
All formulated, but I assure you, I will cut this intrusion as short as possible.
No, we're not entertaining any friends this evening.
I'd like to stay and say hello to Ted and Ruthie, but I imagine I'll be gone before they arrive.
Ted and Ruthie aren't coming over tonight.
What on earth ever give you that idea?
Russell, honey, you may take my cap and hang it in the hallway, if you please.
Sure, you bet.
You were probably on your way there anyhow.
Yes, I was.
Think, honey, when interventions of a pressing urgency demand a man's presence on various premises, you might as well liquidate the troublesome details and take the bull by the horns and keep the alternative unbearable.
What on earth are you talking about?
I don't blame you for smiling.
I'm not smiling.
It's the same old thing, the same old thing. Just like I said the other day. If I'm not careful, I said, I'm liable to get caught up with the frenzied floodwaters of activity and be destroyed against the rocks.
What rocks?
All right, we won't require any of that.
Sadie, honey, I'm here to ask a favor.
Oh?
Seems like I'm always doing that anymore.
Well, not at all. Is it in connection with your landlady getting married?
More details, Sadie, honey. More details and still more details. And they all fall on my shoulders. You hung up my cap in the hallway early, Russell?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Not at all.
He hung up my cap in the hallway.
Yeah.
It's things like that a man don't soon forget.
Oh,
when a man is as busy as I am, when a man hasn't got one single lame brain minute he can call his own, that man appreciates the little kindnesses, the small thoughtfulnesses, and the insignificant interventions that make the alternative unbearable. I know, Vic, it does have its funny side.
Well, what's the favor you want to ask, Uncle Fletcher?
What time are you expecting your company?
We're not expecting any company.
It's Ted Ruthie Stumbottom I'm referring to.
They're not coming over tonight. I believe they're taking in the picture show tonight.
They'll enjoy that.
Oh, I hope so.
Ted and Ruthie will enjoy that. They'll derive considerable recreation from the picture show. And it gives us time to discuss this matter concerning Mrs. Leota Keller's approaching bridegroom, Mr. Harry Feverin.
What's new with him?
Grown-ups will handle this, Russell.
Mr. Harry Feverin, Leota Keller's approaching bridegroom, wrote me a letter, which arrived in the afternoon mail, which stated he would like to have me go to the jewelry store and purchase a ring.
Well?
They got no jewelry stores in Yellow Jump, North Dakota.
Oh.
I am instructed to purchase the ring, leave it in the jeweler's possession, and Feverin will pick it up and pay for it when he arrives for the wedding.
Yes. Sure.
Perhaps, Sadie, honey, you can anticipate the reasons that prompted me to intrude in an unceremonious fashion when I was aware you expected company. Perhaps you can anticipate the reasons.
Could be the alternative unbearable.
Beg pardon, Vic, honey?
I was just following your thought. I said perhaps Sadie could anticipate the reasons that made the alternative unbearable.
Exactly.
Clear as crystal.
Well, I know what he means. You'd better watch your step, mister. You want me to help you pick out the ring, Uncle Fletcher, isn't that it?
Yes.
I'll be delighted to.
Woman's jewelry is trash I don't know a good deal about.
No, of course not.
Horses, I understand. Tractors, I understand. Peanut machines I can take apart and put together blind. I can shim up a railroad track and install ankle bolts and solder grips as quick as any man in the business. But woman's jewelry, there's where I knuckle down with winning like a weasel.
Uh-huh. Well, shall we make a date, you and me? How about tomorrow? Tomorrow, Saturday, we could...
See how everything gets thrown in my lap? I buy the nitwit ring. I engage a numbskull preacher. I act in the capacity of lame-brained best man. I even climb on the train by myself and visit Champaign, Urbana, Clinton, Springfield, and Heliopolis in order to take a fat-hit honeymoon for the happy couple.
Yeah, it does look like you're pretty much handling the whole affair.
If I don't watch myself, I'm able to get caught up in the frenzied floodgates of activity and be destroyed against the rocks.
We must remember to go down to the Interurban Station and throw what you said when you go on your honeymoon.
Yes, about the size of it. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'll be down there climbing on the train to visit Champaign, Urbana, Clinton, Springfield, and Heliopolis, and the half-wit lame brain numbskull crowd will shy old shoes at me. Thunder, I've been so busy the last few weeks working on this fathead marriage, about three-fourths of the chaps that loafed down the courthouse yard think I'm the feeble-minded bridegroom.
Is that a fact?
Sure, that's a fact.
Well, how about tomorrow, Uncle Fletcher? I'm going to be downtown anyway with Ruthie, and if you'd like to meet me somewhere, we
can... I may even go to purchase Harry Feverin a suit of clothes.
I bet you're going to purchase...
I am going to purchase Mrs. Leota Keller's approaching husband, Mr. Harry Feverin, a suit of clothes.
To get married in?
To get married in.
Well, is Mr. Feverin...
The general store there in Yellow Jump, North Dakota, don't carry a line of fashionable gents apparel. They deal more in overshoes and work pants. In his letter, which arrived this afternoon, Harry Feverin asked me to pick out a neat pepper and salt suit of good quality to be married in. More worries.
Smelly Clark loves to tell about the time his father got
in. Grabs this favor then, Sadie, honey?
Happy to.
Fetch me my cap, Russell, please.
Sure.
I left it in the hallway there.
We'll meet downtown tomorrow afternoon, then. Pick out a ring for Mr. Feverin.
We can verify the matter over the telephone.
Well, why not verify it right now? suppose we meet in Hamilton?
I prefer to verify the matter over the telephone. That's the business-like way. Vic, honey, once again, I apologize for the intrusion.
Okay.
Your company, I guess, Sadie, will arrive any minute now.
We're not expecting any company.
Give Ruth and Teddy my very best regards.
All right.
Tell them that when I'm free from the 1,000,001 details connected with my landlady getting married, I hope to renew our pleasant friendship.
All right.
Fetch my cap, will you, Russell?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Fetch me my cap from the hallway.
Oh, he's the greatest boy on the face of the earth.
When a man is as busy as I am, when a man hasn't got one single lame brain minute he can call his own, that man appreciates the little kindnesses, small thoughtlessness, and the insignificant interventions that make the alternative unbearable.
No doubt about it.
You'll convey my warmest regards to Ted and Ruthie when they arrive.
Yeah.
Saint, Russell, Becky, honey. I'm leaving you now. Goodbye.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Add what mix-ups people can get into.
And usually just because of misunderstandings.
Yes, if we'd only think things through. For instance, women who worry about their rayon stockings not lasting very long. If they'd stop and think.
Yes, if they'd stop and think of nightly ivory flakes care.
And try it.
Then they'd find their stockings would last longer.
Friends, stocking strain tests were made. And in those tests, rayons washed in ivory flakes lasted twice as long.
That's a fact. Twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap.
And oh, what nightly ivory flakes care does for the fit of rayon stockings. Takes away that wrinkled, baggy look.
Keeps them neat.
Trim and sleek.
You bet.
You know, friends, ivory flakes are mild and ivory pure.
So even if your dealer is out of ivory flakes once in a while, keep asking for them.
Never wash any of your nice things the wrong way. Always give your blouses, household, slips, gentle ivory flakes care.
You'll get up to twice the wear. Again Monday, join in the fun with Vic and Sage. Same time, same station. This is Ed Hurley
and Margaret MacDonald
saying good day for Ivory Flakes.
Against the enemy. Now, more than ever, used fats are needed for ammunition, medicinal supplies. Save used fats.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.